All right, picture this. It's November. You're 20 feet up in your favorite stand. The air is crisp, bites at your nose a little bit, and the wind is perfect. It's right in your face, or you're 99% sure it is. You've been sitting there for 3 hours, basically a human popsicle, just waiting for that one moment.
And then it happens. The woods just wake up.
It's the moment every hunter lives for. The adrenaline is just instant.
Oh, yeah.
A heavy racked buck, or maybe that wise old deer you need for the freezer, steps into your shooting lane. Your heart rate, it just doubles. You go to clip your release on, you're ready, and then they
Ugh, the dreaded lockup.
the lockup. They stop dead, their ears twitch, the nose goes up in the air. It's like they're testing a fine wine, but with total panic in their eyes.
And in a split second, they are just
They
gone.
don't just walk away. I mean, they leave the zip code.
It is the most sinking feeling in the outdoors.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's worse than missing the shot.
It really is, because when you miss, you messed up, you pulled it, you didn't range it right, whatever. But when you get winded, you're just sitting there going, what just happened?
Right.
You did the prep work, you bought the expensive ozone bag, you showered with that soap that dries your skin out, you sprayed your bow down until it was dripping, you feel like you've been scammed.
It's so frustrating. And the thing is, in that exact scenario, you probably did 90% of the work correctly. You have the advanced tools, you get the win, you're not a rookie.
Right, you did the big things right. And that's the kicker. If you're lazy about it, you expect to get busted. But when you try hard and it still happens, that hurts. So what went wrong?
Well, that's what we're getting into today.
Exactly. We are doing a deep dive into this really eye-opening piece from the AHLA blog, that's the American Hunting Lease Association, called Five Reasons Your Scent Control Game
And
Stinks.
I love the angle of this article
Okay.
because its mission isn't to sell you more stuff. It's not saying you need a new $500 gadget.
No, it's the opposite. It feels more about methodology than marketing.
Precisely. The whole point here is that scent control isn't just about what you buy. It's a discipline. It's almost obsessive. It's about those, those last few steps that even experienced hunters trip over.
We're uncovering the invisible error.
Exactly. We're going to find the microscopic leaks in the system. It's all
Brilliant.
about cross-contamination. You can be totally sterile in one area, your camo, your boots, but if you break protocol somewhere else, the whole system fails.
The chain breaks at the weakest link.
That's it.
So let's find those weak links.
Huh.
The first one, well, it's something I think we're all guilty of, mostly out of convenience. The article calls it the laundry gap, specifically our traveling clothes.
Ah, yes. This is a classic. It's where our logic just it falls apart because we compartmentalize everything too much.
Okay, so break that down. What does that look like for the average hunter?
Well, think about the ritual. Most serious hunters, they go to extremes with their hunting clothes. They're washed in special, scent-free, non-UV detergent. They pull it out of the dryer with rubber gloves, put it straight into a sealed tote or one of those scent crusher bags. They treat it like it's radioactive.
It's like hazardous material, but you're trying to keep the world off of it.
Exactly. But then what happens next? The source points out this huge flaw. That same hunter, fresh out of a scent-free shower, walks to their closet and puts on what? A pair of jeans and a hoodie.
Yeah, the driving uniform.
The driving uniform. Because you don't want to wear your heavy gear in the truck. You'll overheat, you'll sweat, it's not comfortable. But here's the problem. Those jeans and that hoodie, they were washed in your regular detergent. Probably with fabric softener, maybe a dryer sheet.
Oh, I see where this is going. We're talking Mountain Breeze and fresh linen.
We're talking about scents engineered by chemical companies to stick to fabric and project smell. I mean, that's their whole job.
So as soon as you put those on, especially after a shower when your pores are open,
You're just recontaminating yourself
yeah, but
immediately. That scent is transferring right back onto your skin.
that is a very depressing thought. So by the time you get to the woods and put on your pristine camo, your body underneath already smells like a laundromat.
You've turned yourself into a scent wick. And the source makes another great point related to this, what they call the gas station blunder.
Oh, this part made me laugh because you see it all the time during the rut. The guy at the pump in full camo and rubber
But the
boots.
total failure of protocol. You're pumping gas, walking through the convenience store, you are just a magnet for odors.
A total odor buffet. Gasoline fumes, floor cleaner, stale coffee, cigarette smoke.
And it's all settling right into your hunting gear. But even if you're in street clothes, if those clothes are dirty with detergent, you're starting at a huge disadvantage.
So it's a lose-lose. Wear street clothes, you contaminate your body. Wear your camo, you contaminate the camo. What's the solution?
The source suggests the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid.
Always good advice. But simple doesn't always mean easy.
No. In this case, simple means a total lifestyle change for hunting season. The suggestion is you wash everything you own in scent-free soap for a couple of months.
Everything. Like my work clothes, my socks.
If there's a chance you'll wear it to drive to the hunt, it needs to be scent-free. You basically just swap your household detergent for the hunting stuff for a few months.
You know, they point out a funny side benefit to this.
Yeah, it actually makes life easier.
It eliminates that whole, this is my special hunting pile, don't touch it, and this is the regular pile argument.
It simplifies the whole laundry process. Your wife or girlfriend doesn't have to worry about it. If it's all the same soap, it all goes in together.
A little marital harmony through scent control. I like it.
Yeah.
So step one. Your travel clothes need to be treated with the same respect as your kill clothes.
Exactly.
Okay, number two. This one hit me hard. I think this is my personal blind spot. The towel and the bathroom blind spots.
The bathroom is a minefield. And the towel is probably the number one most forgotten step in the whole process.
Walk us through it. Because in my head, a towel is clean. It's been washed. It's just for drying water.
But is it hunting clean or household clean?
Mm-hmm.
So you take your shower, you use the special soap and shampoo, you step out, theoretically scent neutral, and you grab a towel.
Which was washed and tied, or whatever smells like a tropical explosion.
Exactly. And you vigorously rub that all over your body.
Neat.
You are physically scrubbing that fragrance right back into your skin, into your pores.
Wow. So you're toweling off all the scent-free work you just did?
You negate the shower entirely. The source says it perfectly. Mostly scent-free just doesn't cut it when you are upwind of a mature buck.
Mostly scent-free. That's a haunting phrase. It's like being mostly waterproof.
Doesn't count. Mm. And this leads to another bathroom controversy the source brings up. The night shower.
Oh, I'm guilty. I love the night shower. You save time in the morning. It feels efficient.
Efficient for time, yes.
Yes.
Terrible for scent. The expert is really clear. Unless your bed sheets are also washed in scent-free detergent.
Which, let's be honest, is highly unlikely.
Right. So you're rolling around in detergent scent, fabric softener, your own sweat, just general household odors all night long.
You're marinating in the very scents you're trying to get rid of.
That's a great way to put it. You get clean, climb into dirty sheets, soak in that smell for 8 hours, and then go hunting.
Man. So the hard truth is, a kid, you've got to shower in the morning.
And you got to wake up 10 minutes earlier. It's a shock to the system. Nobody likes a cold floor at 4 a.m., but if you want that next level of control, it's non-negotiable.
All right. Wash the towels and special soap. Shower in the morning. Got it. Now let's talk about something more appetizing, but just as dangerous. Topic three, the menu.
Food. It's a huge scent carrier, and hunters have some very specific breakfast traditions.
We do, and the source calls them out. Egg McMuffins, bacon, fries, the grease groups.
Yeah, and we should say, just like this source did, we are not anti-bacon. The author says they're very pro-bacon.
Okay, good. I don't want to have to cancel the deep dive.
No. But they're anti-bacon residue on a hunt. That grease is potent. It hangs in the air. It gets on your hands, your clothes.
It's all about tactile transfer. It's not just your breath. It's whatever you touch. That greasy wrapper, those fries, it leaves a residue on your fingers.
And then you touch your bow release, your rifle stock, the ladder rungs.
You're painting a scent trail of cured pork and grease all the way to your stand.
You smell like bacon, to the quote. And to a deer, that is not a natural smell in the woods. It's a foreign, oily alarm bell.
So do we have to starve? What's the alternative?
Not starve. Just choose safe foods. The source suggests things like oatmeal, toast, maybe some scrambled eggs or pancakes. But the key is eating at home with a fork.
Right. Avoiding the finger foods. Avoiding the drive-thru.
Exactly. That Egg McMuffin wrapper is a scent bomb. If you touch that and then touch your clothes, you're tagged.
No McMuffins. Man, this is getting stricter by the minute, but I get it. It's about consistency. Don't ruin your scent-free shower with a hash brown.
That's it.
Okay, topic four, the journey. We've showered in the morning, we're dressed in scent-free clothes, we ate our oatmeal, now we head to the truck. And waiting for us is the farewell committee.
The pets. This is a tough one. It's emotional.
Oh, totally. My dog knows when I'm leaving early. He sees the camo. He gets excited. He wants to say goodbye.
And if you let him jump on you, give him a hug.
Yeah.
You're covered in what the source calls non-native scent.
Right. My dog smells like a dog. But to a whitetail, a dog is a predator.
It's a wolf.
Yep.
It's a coyote. It's an evolutionary alarm bell. You have to ignore the puppy dog eyes.
Cold-hearted. But the journey issues don't stop there, right? The truck itself is a danger zone.
A huge one. Think about your truck seats. Are there old food spills, dried sweat from the gym? That upholstery is a sponge and it transfers those odors right to you.
But there's one specific part of the truck they highlight with some really intense language, a death sentence.
Yes, the accelerator pedal.
The gas pedal? I never would have thought of that.
But think about it. You walk through gas station pedals, oil on the driveway, road grime.
It's a collection of the nastiest stuff on the ground.
The source argues it's probably the smelliest thing you touch all day.
Mm-hmm.
It's covered in hydrocarbons, chemicals. And what do?
We put on our hunting boots at the house and drive to the lease.
Which means you are grinding the sole of your boot into that chemical cocktail for the entire drive. You're physically pressing that scent into the rubber.
And then you walk into the woods.
And every single step lays down a footprint of gasoline and oil right to your stand. You are literally tracking the enemy to your location.
Mm, wow. When you put it that way, it's so obvious. But I see it all the time.
It's standard procedure for a lot of people. But the fix is so simple. The boot protocol.
Which is?
Never wear your hunting boots while driving. Period.
Right.
Wear old shoes, wear sliders, whatever. Your hunting boots don't touch anything until you are at the lease and ready to walk in.
That is a golden nugget right there. Change at the truck, adds 2 minutes, saves the hunt.
Absolutely. Keep them in a tote. Put them on in the field.
Okay, we've made it to the woods. No dog hugs, no bacon. We changed our boots. We're scent free. But we're not safe yet. Topic 5 is about our behavior in the woods, touching things.
The tactile hunter. It's about how you physically interact with the environment.
Yeah. The source mentions touching saplings for balance or moving a limb out of the way in the dark.
It's pure instinct. You stumble, you reach out, branches in your face, you push it aside. We do it without thinking.
And the damage is, what? A hand on a tree?
The damage is you're leaving a scent post. Every time your bare hand touches that vegetation, you leave skin oils and human scent.
And deer are constantly checking those things. They make scrapes, they lick branches.
Exactly. If you grab a sapling on a trail a buck uses, he's going to smell it. It's like leaving a sticky note that says human was here, right at his nose level.
And if you do that 5 times on the walk-in, you've left 5 alarms.
That's it. So the protocol is gloves. Wear your gloves even during the walk-in.
A lot of guys wait until they're in the stand for that.
I know. It's hot. Or you want dexterity to climb. But the walk-in is where you touch the most stuff. If you absolutely can't wear gloves, the source says your hands have to stay in your pockets.
Hands in pockets. Don't touch the trees like you're in a museum.
But in this case, the art runs away if you touch it. It takes focus. But that's the whole theme, isn't it? Discipline.
It is. So let's recap. We've hit laundry, towels, breakfast, cars, and even just walking. It's a lot.
It is. But that's the point the AHLA blog is making. Scent control isn't a product. It's not a spray. It's a rigorous discipline that covers every single part of your morning.
It's a mindset shift from I need to mask my scent to I need to stop transporting scent.
It's critical thinking. Always asking, what did this touch? Where has this been?
I think the most valuable thing for you, the listener, is to just audit yourself. Be honest.
Right. Ask yourself, which of these pertains to me? Maybe you're great on laundry, but you're a night shower person. Maybe you change your boots, but you always grab bacon on the drive.
You only need one weak link. You can do 99% right, but if you track gas fumes to your tree, well, that 99% doesn't matter.
That's the hard reality of hunting mature animals. They don't forgive mistakes.
So it really comes down to a trade-off. And I want to leave you with this thought to mull over. We all want comfort. We want that extra 10 minutes of sleep. We want the tasty bacon sandwich. We want to hug the dog.
They're good things.
But you have to ask yourself this. Is that bacon sandwich worth the feeling of watching a trophy buck lock up, twitch his ears, and just vanish from your life? Is that extra 10 minutes of sleep worth the heartbreak of the blow and go?
That's the question. The trade-off is real. If you want the results, you have to put in the discipline.
It's a game of inches and apparently a game of molecules. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Hopefully these nuggets help you close the deal.
Stay scent free out there.
See you next time.